You're listening to the Sunday Messages podcast, brought to you by Cypress Creek Church.
I'm so honored to be here today. My name is Patrick Mpande. I come from Zimbabwe, a native of Zimbabwe. And I'm traveling with my wife, Gladys. We've been married for 49 years now. So we have five kids and five grandkids. So I've been around for a while. And I pray that they don't show up the same day. Because I need my house. So we are really honored to be here. And I want to appreciate Pastor Jose and his wife. And they've just been very, very wonderful people to us. They mean a lot. Now, I speak five languages, and English is one of them. So don't just calm down. I was preaching at one place, and a lady came forward, and she needed prayer. See, I was learning English, so anyway. So she came forward, and she said, I've got a stomach issue, and I need prayer. And I said, God, let this stomach go away. She said, no, I need this stomach. But there's something wrong in the stomach. So don't pray my stomach away, please. But we all learn. So I feel at home here at Cypress Creek. This goes back 31 years ago when I met Pastor Rob. It was in 1994 through some connections. Long story short, 2002, when we were having political issues in Zimbabwe and my family was targeted by politics. And I called Pastor Rob, I said, it doesn't look good. Because we had been hosting missionaries coming in and going out and helping to build the Bible school that you saw there. So when the missionaries left, it was said that I was hosting traitors, I was hosting spies. So we realized that and when they say that, go. So I called Pastor Rob, I said, this is what is going on, it's not looking good. We pulled our kids off school. And our kids were wondering, why are we here? Why are we not at school? We couldn't disclose that we were in danger. So Cypress Creek made an arrangement for us to leave Zimbabwe and come over here. And 2002, we landed here in Texas, and the bond just began to happen. Cypress Creek became our home. Our kids went to high school here locally. And so Cypress Creek Church, I tell you what, you are a global church. And if you are here, you are still weighing options, is this my home church? You are at a good place. And ever since we have lived in the U.S., we got our citizenship. The president that was after my life died. So we went back to Zimbabwe as missionaries. How about that? God works wonders. So we are serving three countries in Africa, Zimbabwe, Malawi, and South Africa. We are developing leaders, which is one thing that is very important for us, because without leaders, it's very hard to operate, because people are so hungry for God, and it's so easy to start a church and just blow up. But if you don't have leaders, it's very difficult. So we are blessed to serve in that part of the world, developing leadership. And we are planting churches as well. We are continuing to plant churches as God provides leaders. Now, my message this morning is refreshing times. If you have your Bible or your phone or your iPad, you can turn to Acts chapter 3, verse number 19 to 20. It says, so repent, this is amplified, repent and change your mind and purpose. Turn around and turn to God, that your sins may be erased, blotted out, wiped clean, that times of refreshing or recovering from the effects of heat and receiving the fresh air may come from the presence of the Lord. And that he may send He may send you the Christ, the Messiah, who before was designated and appointed for you, even Jesus. So I want to talk about this word repentance. It means to change one's mind and direction. It means turning away from sin and turning towards God, resulting in transformed life. Repentance is not a shame. It's freedom. I remember when I accepted the Lord in my life for the very first time, I was raised a very shy man. So my brother invited me to go to church, and we went. There were about maybe 20 people in that house church. For the first time, I saw people dancing, excited. I thought, I don't have this. I can't. How? Where do they get this energy and this joy to celebrate, to dance like that? Because I'm not like that. But I need it. I want to be like them. So the preacher was winding up the preaching. Again, remember, this was my first time in church. As he was closing up to say, if you want Christ, come forward, my brother said, go, 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 go. I said, go where? Come on, leave me alone. Because I was very shy, because they wanted you to come to the front. To the front? Are you kidding me? So that everybody will see me? So I was very, very adamant. I didn't want to do that. So he said, this is the time, man. You need to go. And reluctantly, I went and just stood there. Oh, man, I wish the earth would open and just swallow me. I was so shy. And they led me to the Lord. They prayed a sinner's prayer and helped me to accept Jesus Christ. And before I knew it, they surrounded me and just praying, everybody just praying. And I thought, man, this is my last day on earth. But my life changed. So Christ came in my heart, and things began to change. My lifestyle began to change. Things that I used to love, things that I used to have passion with, began to change, and God began to work on me. And my brother, I said to my brother, so that's it? It's just that simple? That's what church is all about? He said, yeah, wait on there, and you'll begin to see God doing extra things. And definitely, sure enough, God changed my life. So repentance is actual freedom, because a lot of things were happening in my life before I knew Christ, but then from that point on, I began to be free in God. It's not rubbing your nose with your mistakes or anything like that, but it's wiping them away. It's wiping your fears away. So in order for repentance to happen, there must be confession, self-awareness, and ownership of aggression, meaning that you have to own it, to say, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I need you to come in my life. You have to own your aggression. In Romans 10, verse 9 says, in the Amplified, it says, because if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart and trust and rely on the truth that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Now, who is this Peter that we're talking about here? Peter was simply a witness for Christ. We are supposed to be witnesses for Christ. That's one thing that happened after I accepted Christ in my life. It was so joyous. It was so amazing that I wanted to tell someone about it. But sometimes I didn't know how to do it. So I had to learn how to pray. I remember one time I ran into someone, and because I wanted to be a witness of what God was doing in my life, I said to him, are you lost? That just doesn't sound right. You can't approach someone and say, are you lost? But I did. So because I didn't know how to do it, but it was bubbling in my life. That joy was so strong. So I said to him, are you lost? He said, no, I've lived here all my life. So then the next thing, I'm stuck now. What do I say next? I said, okay, are you saved? He said, from what? But I was trying. I was trying to let this go, to let the love of God that was in my life be shining on others. And because in my family, it was only my brother and myself who had known God at that point. Everybody else, it was something else. So I'm saying this to say that when we accept Christ, we become witnesses of Christ. And I know that some other people will say, you know what, I want to be a silent witness. Can you imagine going to court and your witness said, Judge, I want to be a silent witness. So we are supposed to witness for Christ. We are supposed to present Christ and let others know about what we got. The reason why people cannot witness, there are so many reasons, but I just have two here. They are not sure of their story. The Holy Spirit is the one that finishes the work. And one thing that I've realized about witnessing is that when you open your mouth, there is supernatural revelation that comes in and begin to speak on your behalf. There are things that I've said to people about Christ that I don't know where it came from. I didn't have it in my mind. I didn't have it in my spirit. But it just, when you open your mouth, you just speak and then God takes over and you say things that are prophetic to that person. So, number one, they are not sure of their story. That's why we get quiet, because we don't know what to say. But what I've realized is your story speaks volumes than just preaching. Your story has more impact than just talking. When you witness, the Holy Spirit bring conviction to the person that you're talking to, and you become prophetic and you begin to speak life, or you begin to speak things that are happening in that person's life. This has happened several times in my lifetime. And I'm still learning, but what I know is people need us as Christians to witness to them. I'm not saying go about knocking their doors and banging and telling them about Jesus. Not that level, though I'm not there yet. But God will attract people to you, and then things will just happen, and then you begin to talk. And I know that prophetic is real. When that preacher stood up to preach in that little house, when we were 20 people in there, he began to talk about my life on the pulpit. And I had never met this man, it was my first time, and I'm thinking in my head, did my brother talk to this guy or what? Because he was saying exactly what I was. And I felt like I was the only one in the house. And at the end, when my brother was telling me to go forward, I knew that even if I didn't go, but this man has read my book. So when you speak, God brings you revelation to speak things that will surprise the listener. Because greater is he that's in us than him in the world. Number two, they don't think that they know enough. We don't witness because we don't think we know enough. We don't have to know enough. Jesus Christ, when you open your mouth, he will fill it. You will speak things that are prophetic, things that will benefit the listener. So there's no room to say that I don't know. I don't think I know enough for me to be a preacher. I want to ask you this. Have you ever read about the Samaritan woman? Jesus goes to the Samaritan woman who was fetching water, and they begin to have a conversation there. And he said, may I have some water? And the conversation went on and on and on and on. But the bottom line is, after that, this woman went into the village because Jesus had just prophesied on her and said, go call your husband. She said, I don't have one. And Jesus said, you have said right. The one that you have is number 5. But then, to her, it was like, he knows about me. And she ran into the village with that little knowledge that she had about what the encounter with Christ. And she ran into the village and told everybody, come and see this man who has spoken about my life. And so and the Bible says people came to the well in their multitudes to listen to what Jesus had to say. So you can see that with little to no knowledge of anything, she became powerful, because it's not by our own strength, but it's the power of God. So many times we ask, who is Peter? Let's be honest. Peter was very strange. He had issues in his life. He had weaknesses, because sometimes we think, I don't measure up. There's no way I can do this. when God is calling you into the house, He's not calling you just to sit there and listen and listen and listen. He's calling you to serve. So don't say that, I don't know how to serve. Because Peter had issues. And sometimes we look at ourselves and think, you know, boy, I don't think God loves me as I think He does because of things that I have done. I'm a failure. I failed so many times. I tried this, didn't work. But Peter, remember, he denied Jesus Christ 3 times. He cut someone's ear, like in a movie, really. Same guy who walked on the water and he sank. But now when he was full of the Holy Spirit, things changed. God doesn't look at our failures, our past failures. He doesn't look that. It's only the enemy that comes and reminds us how we failed and how we flunked back there. But God doesn't look at that. And by the way, when Jesus was leaving, what did he do? He said, I give you the keys. Anything that you loosen on earth will be loosened in heaven. Anything that you bound here on earth, it will be bound in heaven. He's giving the guy who sunk, who failed everything. So if Peter got those keys, there's a chance for one of us here. There's nobody who was created with failure. We are all coming from nothing to be something. So when God calls you, I know that God brings impressions in our lives to say, okay, at Cypress Creek, which area can I serve? God brings those impressions. Sometimes you'll be asleep. Sometimes you'll be just driving. And God gives you those impressions. And another word comes in. You can do it. Because the Bible says the enemy comes to steal and destroy. But I came that you may have life and have life in abundance. So when you are called into the house to serve God, just go for it, folks. We only live once. When God called us to be church planters in Africa, I thought God has a sense of humor. Planting churches, me? How do I even start? First of all, I don't know anything about the Bible. And even countless mistakes that I've done, I don't think God can use me. So when I told my people this is what God is telling me to do, they thought I was losing it, I was crazy, something huge was going to happen, he's heading in the wrong direction. They called me names and everything. But today, we have 37 churches that we have planted, and a Bible school, and a high school. I give glory to Jesus because you and I are the same, and you can do it. There are people in our ministry that were hopeless. I remember this drunk. His wife met the Lord and we prayed for her. She was sick. And she got healed. She had swollen legs and blood pressure was killing her and everything. My wife laid hands. We prayed with her. The following week, she said, I want to come to church. She walked to church. And the third week, she was completely healed. And she said, but my husband is a drunk. And I don't know what's going to happen, but I can't continue to come to church by myself. I want you to help me that he comes to church also. So we visited the home, and the guy was toasted, man. He really was. And you're thinking, is he hearing anything? That's how toasted he was. And one day we went back to his house, but it was in the mornings, and we talked to him about Christ. He said, only on one condition. You don't talk about my beer or drink as much as I want. Okay? Do we agree on that? I said, oh yeah, no problem. You can come drunk if you want. Just come to church on Sunday. So he came to church that Sunday. He was the first one there. And he goes, remember our deal? After church, I want you to know I'm going to the beer joint. I want you to get it because that's our deal. I said, no problem. Just drink. As long as you come here, listen to the word of God, you can go and drink with your friend. So you would go there and drink and take some beer, put in the ice box and drink to prove to his wife that there was a deal between me and the pastor. We kept praying for him and praying for him. One Sunday, he came to church. He gave his life to Christ. He surrendered. He began to weep. And I knew that the Holy Spirit is working on this guy. The following Sunday, he comes to me and he said, "You know what? I don't know what you did, man." I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "That stuff stinks, man. Whatever you did to my beer, I don't know. Is that prayer? Is that what you call prayer? I don't know what, whatever you did." And he said, "I tried to take it. I threw up. What did you do?" I said, "Nothing." Do you see how Christ works? That guy became a deacon in our church. Our assignment is to bring the fish in and let Christ clean them. We are not going to talk about their failures and their weaknesses and all that. We are going to talk about Christ, the hope of glory. Only Christ is the one that does the cleaning. In Acts 1 verse 8 says, Amplified Bible says, "But you shall receive power and the ability and the efficiency and mighty when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth." Now, that word power there is dynamite. It means divine empowerment for God's purpose. We might not see power, we might not touch it, but it's there. When we receive Christ in our lives, he gives us power to be witnesses. He gives us power to love God. He gives us power to love our community and love our friends. Number two, it means the power to witness boldly. When you receive the Holy Spirit, it gives you power to witness boldly. So you shall, the Bible says, you see, our mandate is to go. That's what the Bible commands us. "Go ye therefore into the world and preach the gospel. Those that believe, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Our assignment is to go. Are you ready, Cyprus Creek, to go? There are some people here that are sitting here today that God has called them long back, and there's somebody that God is talking to and is just dragging his feet. He's just going, "I don't think it's time. I'm scared." There's nothing to be scared of. Peter had issues. Peter had some flaws in his life. But look what he did. He did wonders in that condition. God is a gracious God. Now, I want to give you three takeaways. The first is repent and be begged. Now, what really is the definition of repentance? Repentance means turn around. In other words, it means make a U-turn. Peter says repent, which is the Bible talk for, hey, make a U-turn. If your GPS says make a U-turn, you better make a U-turn. Because if you don't, you're going to go a long way lost. And that GPS will never leave you alone. It will be shouting the whole time until you turn it off. It'll be saying, "Turn around, please turn around. Turn left, turn around." The only time you see the GPS shouting is when you make a mistake. Going to interstate, say you're going to Houston. It'll be quiet until you make something wrong. So it's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. He will always tell us to turn around when something is wrong. We can insist, "No, I want to go all this way." I remember in Indiana, when we lived in Indiana, I worked for American Airlines. They gave us a contract to drop the lost luggage. So I would load these luggages and go house to house and dropping them when they were behind, when they've been lost. And so I was driving, and the GPS says, "Turn left." And I looked. Those days, there was only TomTom. You know, TomTom and Jamin, I think, those were not accurate at all. One time I drove, and then in the middle of the fields, it says, "You have reached your destination." I look both sides. There are horses here and donkeys over this side. I'm thinking, that can't be it. Where do I drop a suitcase in the middle of the fields? But the Holy Spirit will do the same thing. He will always convict us and say, "Turn around." And when we do that, when we turn around, thus, then we become guided by the Holy Spirit. Number two, our sins will be blotted away. You don't have to say, "Lord, clean me here, clean me there." Accepting Christ in your life is like taking a pill. When you take a pill, you just swallow it. You don't say, "Go here, that's where the pain is." You hear me? No, you don't do that. You just swallow it. The pain will go away. So accepting Christ is the same thing. It's not like, "God, help me drop this off, drop this off." It's going to happen naturally because he cleanses us from all our sins. Psalms 103 says, As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed your transgression from me. Number three, times of refreshing, like the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like, it's like a spa. When you receive the Holy Spirit, he does the process of cleansing our lives and transform us from in and out. My last scripture is Matthew 11, verse number 28, where he says, "Come to me, all of you that are labor and are heavy laden and are overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease relief and refresh your soul." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the second chance that you give us always. Help us not just say sorry, but truly turn back to you. Refresh us like a cold drink and bring healing in our lives, in our souls, and direct us the way we need to go. Holy Spirit, I pray that you give us insight and light. We thank you and we bless your name. In Jesus' name.